2,500 years, people have been trying Venerable Ananda's meditation technique. Hoping, just as I put my head on the pillow, I'll get enlightened. But of course, you have to be striving all night long. How about if we sit peacefully and quietly for a few minutes before we begin it?
To the Buddha after his enlightenment, offered by King Bimbisara. And King Bimbisara wanted a place that was close enough so that people could visit, but far enough away so that the Buddha wouldn't be disturbed and could continue to practice his meditation, and that he wouldn't be disturbed by the hustle and bustle of the town, but a place where people who were genuinely interested in hearing his teachings could come. And so he gave his own pleasure park to the Buddha, and in the traditional way offered it to the Sangha by pouring water over the Buddha's hands. And this was the place then that established the Buddha again as a fully enlightened being, not in terms of his own wisdom, but just in the sense of people knowing that this was someone really special. Because remember that there were many ascetics practicing in this area, many spiritual teachers, but this was the royal patronage of King Bimbisara really showed that he held the Buddha in very high standing. And this Bamboo Grove Monastery had several places in it which we read about in the suttas very often. The squirrel's feeding ground, and the peacock's, what was that, the peacock's something? Feeding ground, and the squirrel's sanctuary. So there were within this park there were many different areas which obviously were beautiful, and people could sit in meditation and also come into the presence of the Buddha and his disciples. And there are a number of very important teachings that were given here. One of the teachings that appears in the Majjhima Nikaya and is one of the crucial teachings if you're developing insight is a teaching given by one of the enlightened nuns who lived in this area, and that was the Arahat Teri Dharmadina. The Buddha nominated her as the foremost bhikkhuni in being able to teach the Dharma. And the story goes that she was the wife of a very rich merchant in this area. Visakha was his name. And he went to listen to the Buddha preaching in the bamboo grove. And Dharmadina stayed at home. And we can just imagine, again, this is the social conditions, that anything important that's happening, it's the man of the household who goes out to participate in that. And Visakha, on hearing the teaching from the Buddha, became, and I can't recall exactly whether it was a once-returner or a non-returner, but it was further on the path than even the first stage of Sotapanna, stream-winning. And when he came back to the house after he'd heard this teaching and had this deep realization, he behaved in a strange way that Dharmadina wasn't used to. Instead of greeting her lovingly when he came in and calling for something to eat straight away and for the things that he needed to bathe and clean himself, he was much more equanimous about all those things. And Dharmadina thought, well, here's a change. Something really important's happened, because this is the lord of the house and he's behaving in quite differently. And so she questioned him about the teaching, and he told her that there was this enlightened Buddha, and he'd received teaching and he'd gained insight on the path, and that he was really determined to continue to practice. And Dharmadina thought, this sounds very good. I've been waiting all my life for an enlightened one to come along. I have this strong aspiration myself to cultivate this path. And so she made the determination to ask permission of her husband if she could go forth and listen to the Buddha's teaching, because, as I said, she had this long-held wish to meet an enlightened one. And so she was able to go forth, and Visakha remained in the household life. And after Dharmadina had been ordained and practiced for some time, she became fully enlightened. And when Visakha came to visit her, he was surprised to find her still content with the life in the monastery. And initially, because of some of the her behaviours, he thought maybe she's dissatisfied now that she's had a chance to be out of the household life. Now she knows how what a good thing she was wicket she was on when she was in the household. Maybe she'd like to come back and live again in the household, and we can practice together as lay people. So he asked Dharmadina a series of questions. And the series of questions are to do gradually with more and more the level of insight that's required to see through this sense of self, the personality view. And the particular theme of Dharmadina's practice was the Vedana Nupassana. And this is to be able to be in touch with the pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feelings which arise through contact through the senses, and to be able to develop equanimity to those pleasant and unpleasant feelings which arise. And in Vedana Nupassana, we're looking at the resultant karma vipaka that arises through contact. Vedana is a result of our previous conditioning. Whether we relate to something as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral is affected by our past experience with that thing. And there is a mental reaction, and there's also a bodily feeling that arises in conjunction with that mental reaction. And so when we see something that other people find attractive, we may have a feeling of revulsion for it. Not because of the object, but because of our previous conditioning around that object. And so through a series of questions which Visakha put to Dharmadina, she pointed out to him this fact, that this process of conditioning, and that this coming together of all of these conditions is what we call me. Over time, the habit patterns that we establish, the likes and dislikes, have no substance to them. They are just based on our past experience, what we've been told, what we've been exposed to, and how we react to it. And that the practice is to see that and to be able to, with detachment, observe that process as it arises without identifying with it as me and mine. And Visakha questions Dharmadina extensively, and then he realizes that he's actually out of his depth, that his wife, who he thought had gone forth on a whim and would now be pleased that he was coming to invite her back into the household, that she'd actually gone far beyond his reach of his wisdom, even though he had already attained on the path. And so the teaching which Dharmadina gave, Visakha went to the Buddha and said, this is what my wife reported to me. This is what she said was the answer to these questions. And the Buddha said, she has answered you exactly as I would have answered you. And so that teaching by Sister Dharmadina, the Arahat Teri Dharmadina, is in the Majjhima Nikaya. And it's one of the central suttas for people who are cultivating Vedana Nupassana. And it's, as the Buddha said, it expresses the teaching exactly as he would have expressed it. Another notable incident that took place in the bamboo grove was that Queen Kama, who was one of the chief consorts of King Bimbisara and said to be the most beautiful consort of the king, had heard about the Buddha's teachings over some time. And of course, when this bamboo grove was inaugurated and offered to the Buddha, many of the royal court would have come to hear the teachings or see what was going on here now. But she always resisted coming because she was very infatuated with her own beauty. And she heard a little bit of the Buddha's teaching, and she knew that the Buddha didn't praise physical beauty, didn't see that as being an asset that was really worthwhile, because it was not something that you could keep forever. And so she resisted coming to see the Buddha. But on one occasion, she came with the royal household, and she tried to be as inconspicuous as possible so that the Buddha wouldn't single her out to give a teaching. But the Buddha, again, knew her mind and knew that in previous births, she had made the resolution under previous Buddhas to become enlightened, and she had cultivated a lot of the conditions necessary. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been born in such favourable circumstances in this life. And so, using his psychic powers, he created the image of a very beautiful young woman who was standing beside him while he was talking, fanning him. And this beautiful young woman was even more beautiful than Queen Kama. And she saw this beautiful woman and she thought, I didn't think the Buddha had anything to do with beautiful women. Who's that? And I've never seen that one before, and I know all the women in the court. And she was really infatuated. And so completely giving her attention to this image. You can imagine, you know, that who's this coming to the town? And I don't even know that this young woman's here. And even more beautiful than myself. So fully engaged her attention with the thing which the Buddha knew would take her into deep absorption. Now, she watched, and as she watched and as she listened, this image gradually changed. First, the woman matured, still beautiful, but then she matured a little bit more so that you would say she was past her prime. And little by little, this image aged until it aged to the point where the teeth were broken and yellow, the hair was grey and had fallen out, the skeleton was bent and just collapsed in front of her as she was watching. And the Buddha, knowing what was going on for Kama, said to her, Kama, see this, these elements. And again, this is inside. This is talking about these elements that constitute this body. They have the nature just to arise, stay for a while in a certain form and pass away. And they're full of impurity. This thing that you've been giving so much value to, that is your greatest asset, your physical form, your beauty, this thing is actually quite other than you see it. And it's said that she became fully enlightened with that teaching, and is one of the rare occasions when someone, before they entered the Sangha, became fully enlightened. So after that experience, of course, she couldn't stay in the royal household, and she received the king's permission to go forth as a nun. And the Buddha assigned her the foremost place amongst the bhikkhunis as the one with foremost insight. And if you can imagine having that insight arise on the spot, fully enlightened, for full enlightenment, you can understand why. So these are just a couple of the stories connected with the bamboo grove. And because this was the most prosperous town in this region, there would have been many, many people coming, flocking to listen to the Buddha and to hear the teachings from the Arahat disciples. So this was really a powerhouse, if you like, for the dissemination of the Dharma.